Welcome to the Today's Leader podcast. Building tomorrow's best leaders, today.
And it's my pleasure to welcome to the Today's Leader podcast, Building Tomorrow's Best Leaders Today. Please welcome Isaac Mostovich. How are you today, Isaac?
Thank you, Ikert. How are you?
I'm incredibly well. It's, as we were just saying, it's coming towards the end of my day and the beginning of yours. So hopefully today will be a great day for yourself. That's always
Good to know.
So, Isaac, share a little bit of the Isaac Mostovich story with the listeners.
I started my business career about more than 40 years ago in the diamond business. I was invited to join one of the leading polishing manufacturing companies in Antwerp. I became the CEO of the company, made a lot of changes. I think two major changes that I made was, first of all, I opened the Japanese market for us. Which means that I had to understand the culture of Japan. I have to understand the way they are thinking and so on. Number two, I focused a lot on the retail business.
Okay.
Which means that I was maybe among people at my level, I was maybe the only one who stood behind the counter every year for a couple of weeks just to have the feeling of the diamond consumer. Side by side, as I try to understand why people are looking for diamonds, how they choose it, how they price it, when they buy it, and so on, I had the kind of open questions that I didn't get an answer from the industry. Some simply brushed me away. That is not a question what you are asking, and simply didn't have an answer. So I went to academia, maybe to find there an answer. So I completed my MBA. I became a fellow of the Chartered Institute of Marketing, which is that means today I hold the highest diplomas. Professional diplomas in marketing that exist. And I continued with my PhD, researching, trying to figure out what happens there on the mind of consumers. So I started to understand that what is behind the luxury, why people are going into luxury, and actually that what we are doing day in and day out, luxury comes in many disguises. It was fascinating. As I continued, at a certain moment I decided to move back to Israel. I was born in Israel, and the time arrived that I decided to move back to Israel. So I gave away my position in Belgium to the next generation, and moved to Israel, and trying to figure out what I'm going to do now. And I talked to a friend of mine, and I told him I would like to take my ideas and do it in diamonds. And he told me, why diamonds? You're not doing diamonds, because he knew what I was doing with my clients. He told him, you're selling them knowledge. You just get paid by selling them diamonds in a profit, with a profit. So sell knowledge. I asked him, okay, how do I do it? And I'm going to teach you. It was about 4 or 5 years ago. And I'm still sending him a birthday card every year because he didn't teach me. I had to learn it the hard way to cut my teeth. And thanks God, now I'm selling knowledge. I discovered that that's what I was doing in the last 50 years. It just became more refined and more elaborated and more interesting. No, I wouldn't say elaborated because it became simpler.
Very much so. It's interesting when you look at your website, Isaac, and you talk about thinking beyond business. And I know you now do a lot of work with business leadership. And I guess fundamentally what we see with leaders in business is that there is a continual stretch and a challenge in relation to what a leader has to be doing within business. How do you work with leaders to help them with that? Like, over the last couple of years, we've had COVID, there's been crisis, it's been people working from home, it's been everything about business has basically been thrown up in the air, and then just it's landed wherever it's landed. How do you work with business leaders considering everything that we've gone through?
First of all, there's no business that has continuous growth. Business by nature is going up and down, and the leaders are tested when business has take a downturn. They have to understand what happens, how it happens, we have all the time challenges, and if we don't have, we better look for them. So we have to hold to what motivated us in the first place. One of the first questions that I ask people is, what motivates you? Why did you come to this business in the first place? So it's good, it's interesting to talk to a founder or somebody who started from zero and grew up in his business, because there is motivation that was behind. Sometimes they lose it, they become frustrated for many reasons. What you do with the professional managers. People go to management schools, learn all the tricks, but all management schools basically teach the same stuff. So if not you, I'll have a thousand other people graduated with the first best marks, who knows all the tricks, and just repeat the same thing. So where is your motivation? Where's your own voice? And that's what I'm asking people to figure out, where is their own voice, because this is what is going to keep them through thick and thin.
So to tap in and find out truly what their motivation is, and helping them understand that, so that when times get tough and, you know, we've got all these things that going on around us, it can be, that's the motivator, that's that core central piece that we tap into to make sure that we keep going.
Yes. When people complain to me about COVID, for example, hey, we can't do this and we don't do that and we were cut off, and we have to change the way we are working. And I told him, you're not alone. You're not in a desert.
Yeah.
All your competitors suffer from the same thing. So what are they doing? What are you doing? What are you going to do differently? And the only thing that you can do differently is to listen to your own voice. And you figure out, because it's kind of just a matter of communication. We have learned to use all this kind of communication like Zoom, and do business on Zoom. Today it became a matter of choice. I remember when my son moved from one company to another, and the previous company had to be in the office day in and every day, day in, day out. And then all of a sudden he moved to a larger company, and they told him, okay, we don't want to see you until June, at least, because of COVID. All the thing we are going to do is via Zoom. And you are sitting with a group. Israel is quite a small country, but still, you are sitting in a group that one is to the north, one is my son lives in the south, and some are living in the middle of the country. Just to meet together, what just to put a meeting together, each has to travel for 1 hour, 2 hours, and they don't want to. So now, because COVID became more lax, now they start to meet. So it's once every week, once every other week that they meet together, because meeting together is very, very important, but not as important as it used to be. We have learned that a lot of job, a lot of work can be done in far distance. So we have our challenges all the time, and a leader has to seek those challenges, has to seek his where is a comfort zone, and move out of this comfort zone. So it's very easy to sit in the office, and but when I ask, for example, simple question, I ask my clients, so who is your client? They don't know. They start to read from paper because they have the marketing department. Tell them, no, give me a name. You don't have to know them all. Some have thousands of clients, but did you go down to the street, talking to them, and learning what they like by you, what they dislike by you? Because they sometimes the reason why they might dislike you are small, minor things that you haven't noticed, but all of a sudden they disappear, and you don't know why.
It's certainly an interesting space nowadays. It's what I've seen in my own practice, Isaac, is that a lot of the leaders, when they first went into people working from home, really embraced the concept. But then as it continued on, they almost resented it, some of them. And I'm certainly not saying all leaders resented it, but I do know of some that almost resented it because all of a sudden they started to turn into that micromanager and wanting to control things greater.
That's
How have you worked with people that have gone into that sort of stage,
they have
feeling
to
that we're
break it.
after?
One of the this is part of leadership, is giving trust to your employees, building trust with your employees. It's not giving trust. They're very nice to trust people, and then they sit there behind the computer, and you have no idea what they are doing, and they might play games all day long. No, but having a kind of a building a relationship that they trust you trust them, you have to figure out what actually do you want from them. Micromanagement is nothing. Is what do I get from you? What kind of contribution can I expect from you? And you have to understand whether this company, who cares? If you gave somebody a too little job, and he finishes his job within 2 hours, and he charges you for 8 hours work, it's your problem. It's not his and not your employee's problem. He's quick. He finishes it within 2 hours. You have no idea and no way to figure it out. Of course, if he would be in your office, you would see it. Right now, you know what kind of a job, what kind of results you get from them. But you have to start to understand that maybe you underestimate what he's providing. Maybe he can give you something else, something better, and gives them a certain freedom. So the parameters according to which you measure the success of your employees are different. And you have
So
to
for you,
change.
so for you, the key is that a leader has that passion behind what it is that they do, and they get to understand the strengths of their team so that they can maximize, well, the potential of each and every person. Because if we're going to maximize the potential of the people, that means we've got a great chance of maximizing the performance of the business.
This is this is one point. The other point is they must infect their employees with their enthusiasm, because it gives a focus. That's what I want to get to. I don't know how, but that's what I want to get to. And everything that you are going to do has to focus on what the vision of the company is. The vision is the leader's vision.
Yeah.
And you build it together by negotiating this with your employees. And so, for example, I had a case that it's a large high-tech company. So when they had to change the way they were working, the programs that they were working, it was a big thing. Because all of a sudden somebody came and said, "Listen, why?" He did it on surprise, because he was working from home. Nobody knew what he was doing. So he finished his work, and the extra hours he was developing a different system. Okay. So when they got a job and they told him, "Listen, you have 3 months to come with a solution." So he came within 2 weeks with that solution. They say, "How? Yeah. How did you do it?" And he showed it to them. And all of a sudden, the leader was bright enough to say, "Hey, I have here an asset. Number one, we are going to apply what you have developed throughout the entire company. Number two, I know that I have here an asset, somebody who thinks differently, somebody who understand what is the goal and what are the means, and the means can be changed all the time." Yeah. And everybody is happy. The employee is happy because he got promoted, and he got a better position, and the leader was happy. But you have to be open. Yeah. You have to do this way or that way. Why?
Isaac, who's been the inspiration behind your journey?
Behind me?
Yeah. So who's been part of the inspiration for you?
Who knows? So many people that inspire me. There's one question that you like to ask for about a book that inspired me, and I'm looking for something. I would turn the question in a different way. I think in my life I read. You can see the library, a small library behind me. It's very much. I have about 5,000 volumes, and most of them I read. And during my studies, even today, I'm reading quite a lot. I remember one book that I read it, I flipped through it, and I said, "There's nothing in it." In every book, you'll find a sentence, a word, an idea that inspires you, and you just collect it in the. You don't remember where those ideas come from. Some ideas, because you keep on repeating the same, reading the same books, you can pinpoint to where those ideas came. But it's not. These are not the ideas. These are not the inspirations. These are not the people. It's who have been inspired. That you who have interpreted your interpretation of what they've said to you. Is a relationship that you build with people. So, of course, I have friends, I have mentors, I have people that I'm happy to meet, because there's always something beneficial to these meetings. People that I envy of meeting more often, but excellent. I get what I get.
What about failure, Isaac? How do you deal with failure?
Oh, failure is fantastic. First of all, there's a saying in NLP that there's no failure, but it's just it's just a feedback for the future.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Leaders have to fail. It will be my next post on LinkedIn, hopefully tomorrow. Leaders have to fail. I interviewed a potential client and I asked him, "You have about 35 years of career. Have you been sacked? Did somebody told you pack up and go home? Leave my room. Goodbye." He told me no. He was careful. I told him, if you don't test your limits, you are gone. So you have to fail. You have to test your limits. You have to learn from these failures. Because there's an interesting story about. You know how lobsters grow? They are in a shell, and they grow, and they grow, and they grow, and they can't grow further. So at a certain moment, they hide behind a rock and break out the shell. And because they become vulnerable, because they have no shell, and they are easy prey. So they wait until a new shell is formed. And then they go out to the sea, and they grow and grow until the shell limits them. So they break it again. This is failure. Hey, I failed. You have to understand why. And you're checking, is this failure a real one? Is a failure something that I simply misunderstood? But today, imagine this lobster would go to a psychologist and would tell him, "Listen, you have to contain, you have to understand your limits." And so
I'm
this is
hearing
with
that.
you be a lobster, at least. You are a human being. Don't
Yeah.
contain your failure. Okay, you are alive, and there's life behind failure also. Even if you lost your business, there was years ago, when I was a child, there was a movie, Pollyanna. And there was one sentence, you are looking for inspiration, there was one sentence, and Pollyanna used to say, when God closes the door, he opens a window. So you are alive. Just live meaningful life. So the door was closed. Maybe the business stopped. Maybe it's a goodbye. My business been bankrupt. There is always another chance. As long as you are alive, as long as you are pursuing your dreams, you'll be fine.
So don't be contained by the shell. Make sure you're breaking out of it every now
Break
and
the
again.
shells. Look for those shells. Those shells are artificial. They can be broken. We try to put ourselves into a straitjacket.
Yeah, we do. We do. We
Why?
keep ourselves firmly in our comfort zone, and it's a real stretch for people to get out of that. So that's a great metaphor there. So thanks for sharing. What about the vision for yourself moving forward, Isaac? What does that look like? What's the impact that you want to have?
The impact. I want to see the people who are influenced by me grow, be successful, be faithful to themselves, being honest, living beautiful life. That when they end their life, they look back and they say it was a worthy life. And if I help them a little bit reaching these beautiful goals, I'll be very, very happy. I know that I did something on this world.
Excellent, excellent. That's a great vision. How can people connect with you?
First of all, I'm on LinkedIn, and I say LinkedIn because I'm on regularly. I'm posting a post that seems to be very popular. On the last post, I had over 50,000 people who watched my post, and and the number of followers is keep on growing, and
Mm.
I'm not putting popular videos, so it's not by gaining trying to gain popularity. My videos are kind a bit heavy, a bit demanding, and still people enjoy it. So go on LinkedIn, send me a direct message. There is on my about section, and soon you can find it also on my website. I just received a message from my website developer that this will be ready. You can book an appointment with me. I give half an hour interview, talking to people, trying to understand what they want, and hopefully some of them are just using this half an hour not so wisely, but most of people come and they get something, and some are staying with me, staying with
Okay.
me.